7. Turl was standing just outside the library, looking down the grass-grown street. Johnny shifted his position to see what Turl was looking at. He went rigid with shock. 100 yards away, there was Windsplitter, and somebody on him, and 3 other horses behind him. Turl was just standing there watching the street. The moment had come. It was not coordinated, but Johnny knew he was having his last chance. He snapped the metal tool out of his ankle cuff and slashed the leash. It parted. Like a streak of light, Johnny sprinted out of the door, past Turl. Suddenly, yanking talons caught in the buckskin. It ripped. Zigzagging like a hare, Johnny headed for the nearest tree cover, momentarily expecting a pistol blast in the back. He halted with his back braced against a broad aspen. It was Chrissy. And not only Chrissy, there was Patty. A sob surged up through Johnny. Chrissy's glad cry rang out. "Johnny!" Patty yelled with delight. "Johnny! Johnny!" And Windsplitter started to trot toward him. "Go back!" screamed Johnny. "Run! Oh my God, run!" They halted, perplexed, their gladness turning into alarm. At a distance behind Johnny, they could see a thing. They started to turn the horses. Johnny crouched and whirled. Turl was still standing in the library door. Johnny grabbed the handgun from his pouch and threw the safety off. He let the handgun show. "If you fire on them, you're dead," he shouted. Turl just stood there. There was a turmoil of horses behind Johnny. He risked a glance back. Windsplitter had reared. He had seen no reason not to approach his master. He was fighting to come forward. "Run, Chrissy, run!" screamed Johnny. Turl was walking forward, rumbling, indolent. He had not drawn his gun.
"Tell them to ride up closer," called Turl.
"Stand where you are," shouted Johnny. "I'll shoot." Turl leisurely strolled forward.
"Don't get them hurt, animal."
Johnny stepped out from the tree. The handgun was extended. He was sighting it on Turl's mask tube.
"Be reasonable, animal," said Turl,
but he stopped. "You knew they would be here today," said Johnny.
"Yes," said Turl. "I've been tracking them by recon drone for days, ever since they left your village. Put the gun away, animal."
Behind him, Johnny could hear the horses milling. If only they would run. Turl, paw staying clear of his gun, was reaching for his breast pocket. "Stay still or I'll shoot," called Johnny.
"Well, animal, you can go ahead and pull the firing catch if you like. The electrical connector has a dummy wire in it."
Johnny looked at the gun. He took a deep breath and lined it up. He clenched the trigger. Nothing happened. Turl finished his motion to his breast pocket. He took out the gold coin and tossed it into the air and caught it.
"I, not care, sold you the gun, animal."
Johnny pulled a kill club from his belt. He braced himself for a charge. Turl's paw motion was swifter than the eye. His belt gun was out. It fired a sharp bark. An inhuman scream racketed out behind Johnny. He glanced back. A pack horse was down, threshing.
"Your friends will be next," said Turl.
Johnny lowered the club.
"That's better," said Turl. "Now, help me round these creatures up so we can get them in the truck."
8. The truck bumped southward with its cargo of freight and despair. Collared and cinched up to a bracing, Johnny looked over the scene in misery. Patty, bruised from a fall in the melee, was sitting bolt upright, arms lashed to her sides and her back lashed to a truck stake. She was in shock and her face was gray-white. She was 8 now. The wounded horse, still bleeding from a deep blast penetration in its right shoulder, still burdened with its pack, lay on its side, legs kicking slightly from time to time. Turl had simply picked it up and dumped it into the truck bed. Johnny worried that it might kick out and break the left leg of another horse. It was one of Johnny's old string, named Blodgett. The three other horses were snubbed tight to the truck stakes, and their nostrils were flaring in fear as the plane fled fast below the vehicle. Chrissy was lashed to a bracing across from Johnny. Her eyes were shut. Her breathing was shallow. Questions had surged in Johnny, but he blocked them with tight lips. His own plans looked futile to him. He blamed himself for delaying his escape. He might have known that Turl had it all worked out. Hatred of the monster choked his throat. At length, Chrissy opened her eyes and looked at him. She saw he was watching Patty.
"I couldn't leave her," said Chrissy. "She followed, and I took her back twice, but the third time we were too far out in the plane. It was better to go on."
"Just rest, Chrissy," said Johnny.
The horse Blodgett moaned as the truck banged over some rough ground.
"I know I was early," said Chrissy, "but Windsplitter came home. He was on the plain below the pass, and some of the boys were out to drive some cattle up, and they saw him and Dancer and brought them in."
Dancer was the lead horse Johnny had taken, a mare. Chrissy was quiet for a while. Then,
"Windsplitter had a fresh scar on him, like a puma had raked him, and it looked like perhaps he might have run off and left you. I thought maybe you were hurt."
"Yes," thought Johnny.
Windsplitter could have wandered back last year, and when he tried to mount up through the passes, found them blocked with snow. He would have wandered back to Winter on the Plain, followed by Dancer. There was a deep furrow, now healing, on Windsplitter's rump.
"It's all right," said Johnny soothingly.
"I couldn't stand the idea of you lying down there hurt," said Chrissy.
The truck bumped on for a while.
"Johnny, there was a great village," said Chrissy.
"I know," said Johnny.
"Johnny, that's a monster, isn't it?"
She twitched her head toward the cab.
"Yes," said Johnny.
"It won't harm you."
Any lie to calm her.
"I heard you speak its language. It has a language, and you talk it."
"I've been its captive for almost a year," said Johnny.
"What will it do? To Patty? To us?"
"Don't worry too much about it, Chrissy."
Yes, God alone knew what the monster would do to them now. There was no reason to tell her this had messed up his escape. It wasn't her fault. It was his own. He had delayed too long.
The truck swerved across a broken bridge and jolted on.
Johnny decided he had better tell her something to calm her.
"It apparently wants something from me. I will have to do it now. It won't really harm you, just threats. When I've done whatever it is, it will let us go." He didn't like to lie. He had felt all along that Turl would kill him when he had served his unknown purpose.
Chrissy managed a shaky smile.
"Old Mr. Jimson is parson and mayor now. We got through the winter all right."
She was silent for a while.
"We only ate two of your horses."
"That's good, Chrissy."
"I made you some new buckskins," said Chrissy. "They're in that pack."
"Thank you, Chrissy."
Patty, her eyes dilated, suddenly screamed,
"Is it going to eat us?"
"No, no, Patty," said Johnny. "It doesn't eat living things. It's all right, Patty."
She subsided.
"Johnny,"
Chrissy paused.
"You're alive. That's the main thing, Johnny."
Tears welled out of her eyes.
"I thought you were dead."
"Yes, he was alive. They were alive. But he didn't know for how long. He thought of Churl breaking the legs of the cattle."
The truck rattled through an expanse of brush.
"Johnny,"
said Chrissy,
"you're not mad at me, are you?"
"Oh, dear God. Mad at you? Oh, God, no."
He couldn't talk. He shook his head. The roar of the mine became louder in the distance. 9. They had been left in the truck throughout the chilly night. Turl had simply put a couple of button cameras on it, one at each end, and had gone off to his quarters. But it was mid-morning now, and Turl had been bustling about the cages since before dawn. Johnny had not been able to turn his head enough to see what he was doing. The collar and leash had never been so tight. Turl came to the back of the truck and dropped its gate. He led the horses out and tied the lead ropes to a tree. Then he bodily shoved the wounded horse off the truck, and when it hit the ground, shoved it further out of the way. It was trying to stand, and he cuffed it, knocking it down again. He came onto the bed and unfastened Patty. He had a collar in his paw, and he clamped it around Patty's throat. He pulled out a welding torch and welded it shut, and then welded a lead to it. Picking the little girl up with one swoop, he went off with her. Presently he came back. Chrissy shrank away from him. He had another collar, and he welded it on. Johnny had a closer look at it as the leash was fastened. This collar had a red bulge on its side. Johnny realized that Patty's had had one, too. Turl looked at Johnny's eyes. They were ice blue and deadly.
"Your turn in a moment, animal. No need to be cross. A whole new life is opening up for you."
He scooped up Chrissy and packed her off the truck. He was gone for some time. Johnny heard the cage door opening and shutting as though being tested. Then the truck rocked as Turl's enormous weight came onto it again. He looked down at Johnny.
"Any more dummy wires?" he said. "You sure you're not sitting on a blast rifle that has its action dummy wired?"
Turl laughed at his own joke.
"You know, I am going to knock the crap out of Care for not teaching you any better."
He was fumbling with Johnny's leash and lashings.
"Rat brain," said Turl.
The recon drone rumbled in from the distance and passed over with an ear-splitting roar. Johnny glared at it as it passed.
"Good," said Turl, approving. "You know what spotted her, and so you know what will spot you now, if you get up to anything I don't like. Beautiful pictures we get with that thing. Tiniest detail. Get off the truck."
Johnny was yanked toward the cage. Turl had indeed been busy. Several things were changed. One of them was his instructor machine and table. It now sat outside the cage. Turl yanked him to a halt. Chrissy and Patty were tied to an iron rod that had been inset into the side of the pool. Chrissy was trying to massage some feeling back into Patty's arms and legs, and the little girl was crying with the pain of returning blood.
"Now, animal," said Turl, "I am giving you a briefing tour, so pay very close attention."
Turl pointed to an electric connector box on a nearby wall. His talon indicated a heavy wire coming from it that led to the top bars of the cage, wound around each one, enclosed the whole cage high up, and returned to the box. Each cage bar now had insulator wrappings around the bottom. Turl yanked Johnny over to a clump of bushes. A coyote was lying there, its head muffled in wrappings, snarls coming from it. Turl put on an insulator glove and picked up the coyote.
"Now, tell those two other animals to watch this carefully," said Turl.
Johnny said nothing.
"Well, no matter," said Turl. "I see they are watching."
With his gloved paw, Turl held up the struggling coyote and launched it at the bars. There was a searing puff of light. The coyote shrieked. An instant later, it was a charred, crackling mess on the bars, turning black. Turl chuckled.
"Animal, tell them if they touch those bars, that's what will happen."
Johnny told them never to touch the bars.
"Next," said Turl, taking off the glove and putting it in his belt, "we have a real treat for you."
Turl reached into his pocket and took out a compact switch box.
"You know all about remotes, animal. Remember your tractor? This is a remote."
He pointed at the two girls.
"Now, look closely, and you will see they are wearing a different kind of collar. See that red bulge on the side of the collar?"
Johnny did, all too clearly. He felt sick.
"That," said Turl, "is a small bomb. It is enough to shatter their necks and blow their heads off. Understand, animal?
Johnny glared.
This switch, said Turl, pointing to his remote control box, is the small animal. This switch, and he pointed to another, sets off the collar of the other animal. This box.
And what is the third switch? Said Johnny.
Well, thank you for asking. I didn't think I was getting through to your rat brain. This third switch ignites a general charge in the cage that you do not know the location of, and that will blow up the whole lot.
Turl was smiling behind his faceplate, his amber eyes slitted, flickering, watching Johnny. At length he continued,
This control box is always on my person. There are also two other remotes in places you don't know about. Now, is all that very clear to you?